Good morning. Today's daf in the Darim Lamed Zayin. We are in Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're going to be starting from the top of the Amud. Ibayilu. Okay. So we're going to go all the way back. We're going to go to the top of the Amud Beis, and I abruptly stopped yesterday. Sorry, that was a me issue. Regardless, so the Gemara is going to ask a couple of the basic questions regarding being mafish trumas and maestros, and so we're going to cover those two questions that we should have done yesterday. And then on to today's daf. Today's daf, the mitzvah of limud haTorah, teaching Torah, and we're gonna try to figure out how it is that people get paid to teach Torah. That's going to be an endeavor, and that's going to be most of today's daf. Anyway, let's get underway. By Luhu. So the Gemara's question is as follows: Hatorim mishalosho chaveru. So tzarich da'at olo. So let's say I want to take off trumas and maestros on behalf of you. Okay. So again, like we talked about yesterday, the question over here is really straightforward. And that is that you have everyone has an obligation to be mafish trumas and maestros. Obviously, only in Eretz Yisrael, not outside Eretz Yisrael. But in other words, you have your farm, you have your produce, and percentages have to go. Percentage goes to the Kohanim, percentage goes to the Levium. Good. So in a straightforward scenario, so you, the owner of the produce, are going to now take off from that produce. In other words, so you're going to take off percentages, 2% of the Kohen, 10% of the Levian, and there's more to talk about, but we're not going to talk about more right now. In other words, that's a simple, that would be a simple, straightforward scenario. And the Gemara's question is as follows. Let's say I want to do it. The neighbor, want to do it on your behalf. Can I do it on your behalf? Now, why are we having this discussion right now? We're learning in the Darim. This is not, we're not learning Trumos. We're not, in other words, and there is no Gemara in Trumos. So why are we having this discussion now? Because our Mishnah is going to inform us on this topic. Our Mishnah talks about the relationship between the Madar and the Mudar. You're not allowed to get Hana from me. What did the Mishnah tell us? That even though you're not allowed to get Hana from me, I could take Trumos on your behalf. Okay, that's what our Mishnah said. So we're going to use, in just a moment, is we're going to use our Mishnah to discuss this particular question. But the question over here that we're asking right now is a general question regarding, can I take off Trumos and Maestros on behalf of you? Now the Gemara says, I need to sharpen the question, meaning we can't just simply ask that question without context, so the question needs to be sharpened. So, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So we're on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, we're towards the top of the Amud. So the Gemara says, HaTorim, I'm just rereading from the top line. HaTorim, Mishalo, Shalchaver, Tzarech Lato Olo. So when I'm being mafish Shumas HaMaisos, on your behalf, do I need your consent to do or not? You need your consent? So the Gemara says, Mi Amrina Kevin Deschus Ulo. So Lo Tzarech Das. So on one hand, I'm doing you a favor. So if I'm doing you a favor, so I don't need your consent. In other words, we have a principle throughout Shas of Zachon LaAdam Shalo B'Fanav, that I can create a Zuchus for you and I don't need your consent. The example that we give consistently is the following. Do you know that you made a contribution to the Eruv? Did you know? So most people don't know. On your behalf, what happened was is that someone contributed on your behalf towards the Eruv. Every member of the Eruv has got to make a contribution towards the Eruv. I am talking about money, but I'm just talking about a food contribution. So everyone's got to contribute. So what happened was is that there was a secret meeting. It's not a secret meeting. somebody gave bread, in this case matzah, on your behalf, and so it's the zachon la'adam shelo b'fanav. And it wasn't with my consent. Yeah, I understand, but it's all upside. There's no downside. Meaning that now, because I made a contribution towards the eruv, so now everyone can carry in the eruv. So this is a perfect example of zachon la'adam shelo b'fanav. So here as well, I'm going to be mafrish trumas and maestros on your behalf. So isn't that going to be a zechus? And if it is in fact going to be a zechus, I don't need your consent. That's one possibility. Odilma, mitzvah dilehi v'nichalei l'mavde. Alternatively, there's the following. And that is, you're the one who is the farmer. You're the one who grew the produce. And now you have a mitzvah. And what happens if I take off trumas and maestros? I'm taking away your mitzvah. Well, why would you take away my mitzvah? Meaning, it's my mitzvah to do. I like doing my mitzvos. And you're going to take a mitzvah away from me? So therefore, the only way it can be done is only with consent, not without consent. So this is the back and forth in the Gemara. It's a simple question. It's a straightforward question. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see if we can navigate, answer the question using our Mishnah. And that's what the Gemara is going to try to do. So Tarim es trumasav es masrosav lidato. So the Gemara says, let's consider now the following. And that is that in our Mishnah, once again, our Mishnah is Nedarim, fourth Perek. So we're learning about the Madar and the Mudar. So good. So the mudir is not allowed to get hana from the madir. Good. And yet, even though I'm not allowed to get hana from him, but what he can do for me is that he can take off my trumas. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Now, b'maya eskinan. In the Mishnah's case, in our Mishnah's case, what are we talking about? Give me a little more context. So, ilema balakrial al shabalakri ledato demani ilema ledato delay. So, man shavisa shliach. So, the Gemara says, do you think the Mishnah is talking about where I'm going onto his field, I'm going into his produce, and you know what I'm going to do? So, I'm going to take off trumas and maisos from his produce onto his produce. Okay, who invited you? Who told you to come? Meaning, you don't even have, what are you doing? You're on my property, you're taking off trumas and maisos from my produce onto my produce? Like, who told you to do that? So, mancha vishliach. So, ela ledata debalakri akaman ledeka vishlich husay. So the Gemara says, okay, so then the alternative would be that I asked you to do it. Well, if I asked you to do it, so and you're doing it, you know what that's called? It's called now doing me a tova. It's doing a service. And that would be a violation of the neder. And the Mishnah is telling us that it's not a violation of the neder. So that can't be the case as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so scratch that. Let's try that again. So Ella, so it must be that the Mishnah is talking about the following. Shalo, al shalakri. Ah, here's what I'm doing. I'm taking off from my produce onto your produce. Okay, good. So in other words, now I'm doing you a huge favor. In other words, instead of you taking off 2%, 10%, giving it to the Kohanim, Levim, respectively, so now what I'm doing is I'm taking off from my produce. And so now and doing it for you. So the Gemara says, Lidato Daman. Good. That's the case of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, Lidas. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Now, if he asked me to do it, so then, and I'm doing it, so that's called a tova. It's called a favor. It's called service. It's called hana. And the whole point of the Mishnah is that you're not violating the iser neder. So the Gemara says it can't be that. Ella lav ladato denafshe. So in other words, what over here ladas means is that I'm doing it with my own state of mind. Meaning, no one's compelling me to do it. I decided on my own. I elected on my own to do it. So the Gemara says, Mishlo Torah Mashal Chavero. Ah. So now, what I just learned in the Mishnah, is Mishlo Torah Al Chavero. That I could take from my produce and be mafresh against his produce. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that's not a violation of the Isser Hana. Now, I Amar Tzarech Da'as Akamahani Lei Lavin Tzarech Da'as. So the Gemara says, now, Here's what we have to say. In other words, do I need his consent to do so? Okay, so now we have what we think is the correct shot in the Mishnah. So let's gather ourselves because we just tried on a whole different number of pshatim. So let's gather ourselves. So in our Mishnah, what are we describing? We're describing where we have a neder relationship between us, meaning that I'm not allowed to provide benefit for him. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah, what we learned together, that I could be mafresh trumas and maisos for him. And exactly what are we talking about? Where? It's his produce, and I'm using my produce as the trumas and the maisos, so that his produce now will be converted from being tevel to being mesukan. It's going to be good when I use my produce. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. And despite the fact that I'm using my produce in order to correct his produce, it's not going to be a violation of the neder. Okay. Now, do I need his consent or do I not need his consent? That's exactly where we're at right now in the Gemara. Obviously, I don't need his consent. Because if I needed his consent, so the only way I can do it is if he asked me to do it, or if I asked him, should I do it for you? And he says, yes, please do it for me. And then and only then can it be done. But that can't possibly be, because that would be a violation of the neder. Therefore, here we are right now. Therefore, what we just concluded now is that I can do it, and I don't even need his consent. And because I don't need his consent, therefore it's not going to be a violation of the neder. I'm not taking his produce, I'm using my produce. I'm using my produce in order to correct his produce. And so the only question that we have on the table right now is, can I do it without his consent? So from our Mishnah, who's telling us that it's not a violation of the neder, so therefore, the Gemara would like to conclude it's not going to be, you don't need his consent. So that's, meaning that was our Gemara's initial presentation, meaning there are two ways to look at it. On one hand, I'm doing him a favor. On the other hand, I'm taking away his mitzvah. So good. So that's what the Gemara now is trying to be poshet. Meaning, okay, I took away his mitzvah.
But doesn't he get schar because you're acting as a shliach?
Schar is that's God's department. In other words, who's getting rewarded for the mitzvah? That's not for us to figure out. What's for us to figure out is that can I do that? Can I take away somebody's mitzvah like this example over here? And the Gemara sounds like yes. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara says, no, la'olam, shabala kriya, bala kri. So the Gemara says, no, I'm going to go back to what we proposed moments earlier. We rejected it, but now we're not going to reject it. And that is that I'm taking his produce. I'm taking his produce, for the hafrashas trumas ha'maisos. To which the Gemara asks the obvious question. Well, let us ask the obvious question. Meaning, and I can just do that. I can go onto his field, take his produce, and be mafri trumas ha'maisos. Meaning, who invited me to do so? Now again, if he invited me to do so, great. But then it would be a violation of the neder. So, and if he didn't invite me to do so, so I have no right to go onto his property and start tinkering with his, you know, basically with his taxes. You know, I'll pay your taxes using your money. Who, right? Was I asked to do so? So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what. What we'll do is that we'll give the following scenario. And Okimta. So the Gemara says, Kedama Rava, Ba'omer Kol Arosa Litram Yavo V'Yitram, Hachanami, Ba'omer V'chulei. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happens is the following. The owner of the field made the following announcement. Look, I got to take off Trumas HaMaisos. And right now, I'm opening an invitation, extending an invitation. Anyone who wants to come onto my field to do it for me, so has my permission to do so. Okay, Kol Arosa Litram Yavo V'Yitram. So anyone who wants to can do it. So I am not inviting you specifically to do so. What I'm doing is just simply allowing and giving permission. Somebody wants to come onto my field, be mafresh shumas maestros from my produce onto my produce, has every right to do so. That would be the case in the Mishnah. So since he gave an open invitation, therefore me coming along and doing it is not going to be a violation of the neder. He didn't ask me personally. I'm not providing him a direct benefit. In other words, it could have been anyone else, since it could have been anyone else. Therefore, when I do it, it's not going to be a violation of the neder. Okay, that's an ukimta in the Mishnah. In order to say all this, you have to read a lot into the Mishnah. But again, this is the Gemara in its classic stance of, look, from the Mishnah, we can't conclude our original question. Okay. Next question becomes the following, and that is that I'm Torah on behalf of somebody else. Good. So if in fact I'm Torah on behalf of somebody else, so now who gets the Tova Sana? Okay, let's wrap our heads around Tova Sana. Tova Sana comes up all the time throughout Shas, and in fact we just recently discussed it. So Tova Sana is going to be a fringe benefit. Okay. In this case, what's the fringe benefit? It's very simple. Meaning, aside from the fact that 2% of the produce is going to go to a kohen, but on top of that, I get to decide which kohen it is. Oh. The power of allocation. Okay, I know you've heard me say this before, but ask any politician: does it provide for you any kind of power whatsoever that you get to decide who receives, you know, the bid, right, or any service or any goods? So obviously, yes, there is a value to that.
But their answer is no.
No. Okay, good. Well, we know, right? We know, right?
The answer is always going to be no.
Correct. But we know, obviously, that it has a value. And sometimes what they do is that they take money for that. Now, sometimes legally, sometimes illegally, that's not my point. My point is that it absolutely has a value. So when I now get to decide, meaning the Truman, the Maisos, so that has to be given to a Kohen. You cannot get reimbursed for giving Trumas HaMaisos. However, because you get to decide where it goes, so that has a value. And as we know, we cover this time and again throughout Shas. And that is that let's say a family member, a non-coin family member says, you know what? Take that Truma, take that Maisra, and can you direct it to the following address? He happens to be my son-in-law. Okay. And can do that. meaning that's perfectly allowed. So you can have now that value of allocating who it's going to go to, and you can actually monetize that value. You can actually get money for that. Good. So that is what's called Tova Sana. Okay, so now, here's simple question. So I'm now being mafish from somebody says on your behalf, meaning I'm taking my produce and correcting your produce with my produce. So in other words, which produce is being corrected? Yours. Whose am I using to do so? Mine. So now, who gets the Tova Sana? Who gets to determine and decide? Is it going to be him or is it going to be me? Now, on one hand, Gemara goes over both sides. So, mi amrinan, ila per dahachmi metakne kar yadahu. On one hand, I could simply argue that, look, I'm sponsoring right now. In other words, I'm taking my produce and using it to correct your produce. Okay. In other words, I'm paying the taxes. So you don't think I get to decide who it's going to go to? That's on one hand. Odilma, ilav kar yadahu, lo havia per dahavichuma. On the other hand, look, your produce is not going to be considered truma without my kri. Meaning, you can't just simply randomly come along and say, hey, this apple over here, it's truma. Truma has to go against something. If it doesn't go against something, it's not going to be truma. So over here, you're using my produce in order to give your fruit status. In other words, it's my produce that's being corrected. So without me, there wouldn't be you. Okay, so... And generally speaking, in any kind of symbiotic relationship like over here, where I need you and you need me, so then it always becomes a question of, well, who now gets to decide? Who gets to make the determination of which cone it goes to? So Amar Lei, Amar Karas Kol Tvo Zarecha Vinasata. Okay, now what we did over here is we cut up the pasuk, but still, the idea is over here, this is in Parshas Re'eh. So, as Kol Tvo Zarecha, all your grains, and you will be given. Meaning, who gets to be the decider, the arbiter of where the Trumas and Mites are going to go to? The owner of the grain. Presumably over here, the Gemara means the owner of the field. Okay, so, question asked, who gets Tova Sana, in which the giver of the Truma and the owner of the field are two different people. Normally, under most circumstances, it's one person. But over here, we separated the Torah versus the owner of the field. So now the Torah is somebody else who gets to make that determination of where that Truma is going to go. Right now, we think the owner of the field. Eisvei, the Gemara says, okay, so let me challenge you based on the following, and that is, Torah is Trumasav, it's Masrasav Ledato. So round number two for today, we go back to our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah, what do we see? So once again, Madir Mudar, you're not allowed to get Hana from me. And meanwhile, what I can do, I can go into your field and I can take off Trumas and Maestros. And again, the Mishnah uses that key word, lidato. So the Gemara says, Yamar Tovasana de Balakri. So now the Gemara says, okay, so let's now make the following consideration. Meaning we are now trying to legislate, or not legislate, but litigate exactly who gets that Tovasana. So let's say now the Tovasana is the Balakri, it's the owner of the field. So Hakamahanile. So the Gemara says, okay, so now I'm providing for him Anah because he gets that Tovas Anah. And again, that Tovas Anah does in fact have a value. And so what am I doing? I'm providing him that value. So Elosh Mamina, Tovas Anah delay. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Tovas Anah must be going to the Mafrish, the one who separated Trumas and Maestros. So Amilo, the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. So Mishal Balakri, Ashal Balakri. Uladato de Balakri. So the Gemara says, in other words, we assume that I was sponsoring his field. I was giving from my produce onto him. That's what we assume. Gemara says, nah, let's try that again. Like we said moments earlier, it's that what I did is I went onto his field. I took his produce in order to be misaking his fruit. Oh, so the Gemara says, if that's true, so wait a second. Did he invite me or did he not invite me? And if he invited me, that's Hana. And if he didn't invite me, I have no business being on his property. So the Gemara says, like we said just moments earlier, okay. So the Gemara says, once again, he gave an open invitation. Anyone who wants it can come onto my field and to be misakin and to correct my produce. And under those circumstances, number one, so now the Tovas Anah, I'm not giving him Tovas Anah because it's his. And number two, did he ask me to come onto the property? If not, what business do I have to be there? It's an open invitation. Again, it's the same scenario like we described earlier.
The one who's giving, he takes it from where? From
From his own.
That it was already taken from him before?
No, you get right. Yeah, in other words, he has to use his tevel.
Okay, so in one way he fixes both of them? Both feet?
No, in other words, no. In other words, he'll just...
He'll take again for his own.
Presumably. Yeah, you're correct. Correct. It can get a little bit complicated. Okay. Tashma dama Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamakdish Mosif Chomesh. Okay. We are going to make three successive comments regarding a status of ownership. Okay. In halacha, the owner has ramifications, legabe halacha. And so over here, we're going to make three. And the Gemara is just really going to be focusing on number three, but let's go through one, two, and three. Number one, let's say a person is sanctifies his own animal as a carbon, and now blemish occurs, a mum takes place on the animal, which gives him the right to redeem it. So what do we know? The halacha is very simple. Halacha is that when you redeem an animal, you have to add on a chomesh. Now, I know chomesh sounds like 20%, 25%. Okay, if you want a math lesson of how that works, come back to me later, and I'll teach you how that math works. So, but anyway, but it's 25%. So you got to add another 25% add on value. Now, if somebody else comes along, not the owner, so and he redeems it, so he doesn't have to add on the 25%. That surcharge is only for the owner redeeming and not for anybody else. Who's the owner? So the answer is Makdish, the one who sanctifies it. So the meaning. Even if he was makdish it on behalf of somebody else, nevertheless, the one who was makdish it, so he's considered the owner vis-a-vis this halacha of chomesh. Number two, halacha number two. Miskaper osa tamura. Let's say I am makdish an animal on behalf of somebody else. Who can effect tamura? Now again, tamura, the entire mesechta dedicated to this topic, and that is that what I try to do is I transfer the kedusha from this carbon to another carbon. And the Torah says, "Vayahu usmaraso yekodesh." They're both going to have kedusha. Good. And don't do it. And the Torah says not to do it. But meanwhile, it takes effect. Good. And the first two blot, three blot of the Masechta Temura, gets into a very fundamental discussion of when the Torah tells you not to do something and yet you do it, is it effective? So from Temura, now you understand why Temura is it's discussed over there, because by Temura it sounds like yes. Torah says don't do it, and meanwhile, if I do it, it takes effect. Okay. Anyway, but the point is that who can effect tamura? The miskaper. It's a really interesting halacha in that, in other words, he wasn't the one who was makdish it, but the carbon is being brought on his behalf, and yet, because it was brought on his behalf, he's the owner vis-a-vis tamura. Okay. And again, it's not our discussion for today. I'm just going to move on to the third, because that's really obviously most germane to us, and that is a term. Shalo al she'enu shalo, so tovas hana shalo. So the person who is tareim, meaning the sponsor of the trumas ha'maisros, so he's going to have the tovas hana. Which again, by the way, in other words, going all the way back, it's probably the most intuitive position we would have taken from the beginning. But over here, Rav Yochanan says it point blank. So we
the tovas hana is not a tangible benefit to give somebody like. It's not something tangible.
It is. In other words, it has a value. It absolutely has a value. By you deciding and determining which coin it goes to, that has a value.
But the thing is, it's not something you can sell or get money for.
Right? You can get money for it, not directly.
It's good, though.
No. You can get money for it, just not directly. A family member can go ahead and give you money for it. You can. You're allowed to get money for it, just not direct direct payment. In other words, let's say, for example, the father-in-law who's not a coin. So he wants the son-in-law to get truma. So he can come over to you and he can persuade you.
But that's not really a transaction. That's more like a...
Okay. In other words, the point is that it has a value and you can monetize that value. And
Cohen himself can do that too.
No. It has to be a matana. From the Cohen's perspective, it has to be a matana.
No, but can he persuade you to give it to him rather than another Cohen?
It has to be a matana. I mean, persuasion can come in the fact of just being nice, but in other words, okay, fine, that's fine. Okay.
Be nice. Well, it's a popularity contest.
Right, I often think about that as well. In other words, right, some Kohanim are going to be receiving more just simply because they're more popular. You see this by right? You see this by pigeon aben,
right?
Right. Okay. Malamdo measures halachas agadas of olam yalamdo mikra. Okay, and here we go. Okay, for the rest of today's daf, so we're going to be litigating one issue. Really, it's the beginning of today's daf. Everything up until now was just a, you know, just a carryover from yesterday. Okay, good. But meanwhile, so now at the beginning of today's daf, so here we are. And the madr and the mudar, and that is that because of a neder, you can't get benefit from me. Okay, good, you can't get benefit from me. But you know what I can do? I could teach you. But then the Mishnah says something that was really interesting, and that is, I could teach you basically all of Torah, with notable exception to Mikra. I can't teach you Mikra. Now, Mikra is Chumash. Now, in this context, by the way, we could say that Mikra is not just limited to Chumash, it could be all of Tanakh. In other words, we could be making a simple distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. We could be doing that. Okay, but the point of the Mishnah, however, is that Mikra, no, that you can't do, because that then you're giving him benefit, but Medrash, that you're allowed to do. Okay, now why are you allowed to teach somebody Torah, even though he's not allowed to get Hana from you? So the simple explanation, and the Ron said it back in the Mishnah, and when we read the Mishnah, I'm not sure if I said it, but it's okay. We'll say it now, and it's very clear, and that is that I'm doing a mitzvah, and mitzvah's lav lahenes nitnu, meaning that when I'm doing a mitzvah, even though there's going to be a side benefit from it, but nevertheless, when I'm performing a mitzvah, so that doesn't qualify as hana. So over here, when I'm teaching you Torah is a mitzvah, and therefore, by definition, that cannot qualify as hana. Good. That helps us, but mostly, not all the way. Because if that's true, so then why can't I teach a chumash? Meaning if there is a neder prohibiting you benefiting from me, so then, but if I'm teaching you chumash and that's a mitzvah, and mitzvah's lav lahenes nitnu, so then it shouldn't qualify as hana. And I should be able to teach you chumash. It's a simple question. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. So, mikra, my time alo yalam denu. Good. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So, mishum de kamahanele. So the Gemara says, because it's hana. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Mejashnami kamahanele. Well, that would be true with Torah Shabbat as well. So I'm Rishmo, but makam shenot linschar. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you know, people hire tutors and pay for teaching Chumash, but not for Medrash. And again, Medrash over here just simply means Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara says, my Pascha. Gemara says, okay, but that's arbitrary. Meaning, you're telling me that payment is for Chumash, but no payment for Torah Shebaal Peh. Good. All you're doing is just setting up an Ukimta in the Mishnah, but why? Why would you set up such an Ukimta like that? So Hakamashmalan, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. We're on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So Hakamashmalan da'afil b'makom shenot linschar al-mikra shar l'mishkal al-medrash lo shar l'mishkal. Oh. So let's say you want to pay. In other words, you want a tutor and you want to get paid. So here's what you can do. You can get paid for teaching Chumash, but here's what you can't do. You can't get paid for teaching Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay. Now, I say that, by the way, with the irony, of course, is that, okay. Yeah, okay, good. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to look in the mirror right now. I won't do any kind of reflection. Okay, what would be the point of doing that right now? Okay, maybe at a later point in time I'll do that. But anyway, let's just say the pshat in the Gemara nice and simple. Meaning, the reason why in the Mishnah we are saying that you're getting paid for Chumash, you're not getting paid for Medrash, it's not an arbitrary designation, but rather it's based on the halacha. You're allowed to get paid for Chumash, but you're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah Shabbat Peh. But we're only kicking the question now forward. Why? Okay, good. So, Maishna Medrash Lo Dichsiv Osi Siva Hashem Beisahi Lo Lamed Eschem. So, Uksiv Rei Lamadati Eschem Chukim Mishpatim Kasher Tzivani Hashem Ma'ani Bechinam. So, just like I taught you, and I didn't charge, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu saying Afatem Nami Bechinam. So, the same thing is true, meaning that the teaching of Torah is a mitzvah, and as such, so you can't charge to doing a mitzvah. So, Mikra Nami Bechinam. So, the Gemara says, okay, now I hear, but I don't understand. So meaning that Moshe serves as a base model for, he taught, he didn't get paid for teaching. And so therefore, anytime going forward, we're going to teach and we shouldn't be getting paid for teaching. I don't understand what's the difference between Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara gives one of two explanations. So Rav Amar, so number one, explanation number one. So Rav's of the position, Schar Shimur. Now, because let's take a look at who typically are your students. When you're teaching Torah Shebichsav, otherwise known as Chumash, so who are your students? Your students are going to be 5 years of age, 6 years of age. In other words, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ben Chumash LeMikra, that at 5 years of age, so that's when you start teaching Chumash. So over here, you got 5-year-olds in the room, 6-year-olds in the room. So aside from teaching, you know what you're also doing? So you're babysitting. Okay? Babysitting is a, right. It's not the nicest term, and I probably a better term to describe it. But in other words, okay. In other words, there is a secondary service that you're providing. So when you're teaching Chumash, and that is that there is a service to be had of taking care of children. Good. So in other words, so when you're teaching Chumash, you're not charging for the teaching of the Torah, but you're charging for, I'll just say it. In other words, it's just easy to communicate like this. You're charging for the babysitting. Okay, good. On the other hand, when it comes to Torah Shabbat Peh, so who typically is a student of Torah Shabbat Peh? Older. So over here, what am I doing right now in the room? Am I babysitting right now? Oh, no. So in other words, the only thing I'm really doing is I'm teaching Torah. So in other words, so there's no other service being provided at this point in time. Okay, good. So that's the difference between the two. That's one svara. Rav Yochanan Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. So the Gemara says, well, there's another svara as well, and that is that when you're teaching Chumash, so there is something on the side that you're doing that you can actually charge for, and that is the trup. So in other words, so when you're teaching Chumash, so there is what's called trup. What we call trump, right? So there's a nigun, there's a certain song that comes along together with it. And right now the Gemara is thinking, and I know this is a really interesting thought, the Gemara is thinking right now that's not the oraisa, meaning that was introduced, don't know when, don't know who, but right now the Gemara is thinking that's not part of the Mesorah per se. And so therefore what you could do is you could charge for that. Okay. Which in of itself is interesting, meaning even in the current thought process of the Gemara, where the trup is something that was innovated at a later point in time, but if it's not a din d'oraisa, but rather it's just but a din d'rabbanan, it affords me the ability to charge to teach that. And it sounds like from the Gemara, in other words, I'm just bringing it now to its next point, to its what seems to be its logical conclusion, is that what I can charge for is teaching dine d'oraisa, but Dine de Rabbanan I can charge for? That's what it sounds like. Okay. Or maybe, just one other thought and we're going to move on, maybe Pisuk Tamim is not even a Din de Rabbanan. I don't know what category to put it under right now, but at least in this thread, in this thought process right now of the Gemara, it's something other than a Din d'Oraisa, and for that I could charge. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan. Okay, so what do we have right now? So we are involved in the following. So I can charge for Chumash, but I can't charge for Torah Shabbat Peh. We're trying to understand what the distinction is, and the Amoraim provided us two different svaras in terms of what the difference may be. One, because of the babysitting, which is a side service that you're charging for when teaching Chumash, as opposed to Torah Shabbat Peh. Number two is Pisuk Ta'amim, which you're allowed to charge for because Pisuk Ta'amim is not part and parcel of the Torah itself. So tonight, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at our Mishnah and see of these two which one really seemed to be the better explanation. So lo yilam denu mikra bishlam laman damar schar pisuk tamim hinder lo yilam denu laman damar schar shimur so gadol bar shimur hu. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. What did we learn in our Mishnah? It's so that if I have a madur and a mudur, and you're not allowed to get benefit from me, so what I'm allowed to do is I'm allowed to teach you. I'm allowed to teach you Torah Shabbat Peh, but I'm not allowed to teach you Torah Shabbat Chsav. And over here, it seems like we're talking about adults. Because in the Mishnah, who are we describing? A Madir and a Mudar. Sounds like we're having adults over here in the room. And so over here, if we're having adults, so, and in the Mishnah, so I can't teach you Torah Shabbat Chsav, but you're an adult. Meaning, what babysitting are we talking about right now? So the Gemara says, okay, so, Bekan Ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a katan. The Gemara says, that's hard to imagine. So, I b'katan ima seifa avamalamit is banav mikra. So, katan bar banim hu? We're not talking about a katan in the Mishnah. Meaning in the Mishnah, so we're saying, you know what? I can't teach you, but I can teach your son. Okay? Okay. So, if the principal is a katan, so the katan's having children? It's unlikely. So, so chesur mechzer v'hachi katani, the Gemara says, okay, here's how we could interpret the Mishnah. And that is lo yilam denu mikra bekatan. So what we're not allowed to do is that you're not allowed to teach Chumash if he's a minor, meaning we're inserting that into the Mishnah. And again, it's a little bit strange, by the way, that the Madir, the Mudar, is going to involve a minor. But okay, let's suggest that. And the reason why is because he's a minor, and therefore there's babysitting that's involved, and the and therefore I'm charging, and therefore the benefit is that side service. And im hayagadom alam dolo levanav mikra. Now, if he happens to be an adult, so now I can teach him chumash, because the teaching now of chumash takes away any other service, because again, now it's just teaching Torah, and not only can I teach him chumash, but I can teach his son as well, because in other words, vis-a-vis him, so he can't get benefit from me, but I'm teaching him Torah. And again, he doesn't need any other service, so therefore, there's no violation of the neder. What about teaching his son? So the Gemara says, teaching his son also, he's not the principal. He's not the one who I'm bound by neder not to get benefit from. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's what we're going to suggest as an ukimta in the Mishnah, a way to read the Mishnah. And so at this point in time, we haven't yet resolved. Question, how come I can charge for chumash? But I can't charge for Torah Shabbat Peh. Right now, we are entertaining two possibilities. One, chumash involves also babysitting. Number two is because there's pisuk ta'amim. What about our Mishnah? The Gemara says our Mishnah, we could read in an alternate way. Meisveh, the Gemara says, let's try this again. Tinokos. So, lo karm b'tchil b'shabbos eloshonim b'rishon. So the Gemara says, here's a halacha. It's an interesting halacha. And that is that when the yeshiva is open on Shabbos, so what you do on Shabbos, and the only thing you do on Shabbos is yichazer. In other words, don't, with the children, don't teach them something new, but rather chazar, and that's it. Okay, that's a halacha for learning on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now let's see if we can understand that. So bishlam laman damaschar pisuk tamim hainu den korin b'tchil b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, now, why is it that you're not allowed to teach chumash? Or let's say it better. You're allowed to receive earnings for teaching chumash. So if it's because you are the earning is not for the teaching of Torah, because again, you can't earn money for teaching Torah, but the earning has to do with pisuk ta'amim, has to do with teaching of the Torah. So now I understand in Korin b'tchil b'Shabbos. So if you were to teach a new pasuk on Shabbos, so what you would be doing now is that you would be teaching the new pasuk with Torah, and now for that. So you would be earning money on Shabbos. That's what's called Schar Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. But Elaman Dam Schar Shimor Amay Korin B'Tchil B'Shabbos V'Amay Shonim B'Shabbos. But the Haika Schar Shimor D'Shabbos. But if the issue is babysitting, so let me ask you a question: If the earning of the money is coming as a result of babysitting, I can't possibly understand the distinction between teaching something new versus reviewing. Meaning, regardless of what I'm teaching, if I'm teaching this for the first time or if we're reviewing, regardless, I'm taking the little children and I'm watching them, and therefore I'm getting paid for doing that on Shabbos. And there can't possibly be a difference between this is the first time we're learning it versus we're reviewing. So the Gemara says, "L'tam echzchar pisuk Shabbos mi asar avlahi v'avla mishra shari d'tanya sochet sapo lishmor esatik lishmor sapar lishmor sazraim einos lo schar Shabbos." Lefichach, we're on the Amud Beis Nimavdu, Einu Chayiv Achri Yusam, V'im Haya Schir Shabbos, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavuah, Nosen Lo Schar Shabbos, Lefichach, Imavdu Chayiv Achri Yusam. So the Gemara says, okay, but can I introduce you to the topic of Avlan? I know I read all that quickly, but the basic idea is as follows. And that is that if you hire me to do a service, so if you're hiring me to do a service which is not a violation, the service itself is not a violation of Shabbos. It just happens to be, you ask me to do it on Shabbos. Okay, this happens all the time. So for example, right, I need babysitting, meaning me and the Rebbetzin are going out tonight and we need a babysitter. So what are we going to do? We're going to hire somebody to watch our kids on Friday night. Watching our kids on Friday night is not a violation of Shabbos. Can they get paid for the services they do on Shabbos? So the halacha is very straightforward. And that is that if they're only working on Shabbos itself, that's what's called Schar Shabbos, and that's Aser. If, on the other hand, they're working both on Shabbos and during the week as well, so then that's called havla'a, where the services that are done on Shabbos are subsumed, absorbed within the services that are done during the week, and therefore it would be okay. It would be mutter. You can get paid for the work that you did during the week and the work that you did on Shabbos. Okay, youth group leaders. So we're gonna have to make an argument. I'm not doing it right now. I'm not the rav. Right. In other words, we're just learning a daf. But youth group leaders, if all they're doing is getting paid for the work they do on Shabbos itself, so that's a problem. So we'll say that they did some preparation during the week. Okay, whatever. Yeah, well, okay. Again, that's not my job right now. My job is just to present the facts. So the right the chaz and that you hire for Yamim Tovim. Okay, yeah, good. These are old questions that, you know, we're not going to be breaking any new ground over here. But so the Gemara says, so once again, if what you're charging for is pisuk to amim, is for teaching truff, it doesn't matter. You're teaching them the truff on Shabbos. If you're hired weekly, if you're hired monthly, so you can get together 7 days a week, you can. That's havla. That would be okay. So the Gemara says, so at this point in time, I'm not hearing one way or another. In other words, so now we're going to be asking a simple question. Good. Right now, I can charge for teaching Chumash. Why? Two possibilities. Either because of babysitting or because of Pisuk Tamim. And we'll right now leave that alone. Now we just learned the Braisa together that we don't even understand. The Braisa says that when you have the kids coming, you're teaching the kids on Shabbos, so only Chazara, but not teaching them something new. That has nothing to do with babysitting. It has nothing to do with Pisuk Tamim, with teaching Trump. So what's that halach all about? So that's what the Gemara now is about to explain. So the Gemara says one of two possibilities why you can't teach new on Shabbos. So number one, because Shabbos is family time. I am not translating the Gemara literally, but I'm doing a pretty reasonable job explaining the idea over here. Shabbos is family time. And if the Rebbe were teaching something new, so then everyone would be pressured to have to go to and take their child and bring him to the base measure so that he wouldn't be missing anything. Yeah. So that's why on Shabbos, review. So if you're reviewing on Shabbos, you're not teaching something new, so then nobody's going to feel that pressure of, oh no, we have to go to the base measure. And you get to spend more time with the family. Okay? That's in of itself, so many interesting ideas over here. In other words, also just the simple mussar that we walk away with back in the day. In other words, if the Rebbe were teaching something new, like, of course my kids have to go. Okay, good. That's easy mussar. But that's one possibility. The other possibility, says the Gemara.
During the time of Beit HaMikdash, wasn't Shabbat that they were actually, they taught people about Lachot, and they
yeah, but this is, correct, but that's adult education. Over here we're talking about the kids. So for the kids, the kids are basically, in other words, they want to create more of a family environment for Shabbos. That's one. Two, Ibai Zema Mishum to Shabbos Achlan Vishasim Vyakir Alein Alma Kedamar Shmuel Shinu Ivest Chila Cholam Ayim. The other reason why is because, you know what, on Shabbos we're feeling heavy. Now I know it sounds funny, but that's exactly what the Gemara says. So we feel heavy on Shabbos because Baruch Hashem. So what do? Friday night we start eating, and then when do we stop? We don't. So we keep going, right? Okay, good. And what happens is Shmuel's idea presents itself time and again throughout Shas. The Gemara quotes it numerous times, and that is Shinu Ivest. Anytime you change your schedule, right? We are creatures of habits. A change in schedule, even though, by the way, we know it's happening. It happens every week. But Shinu Ivest. Anytime you change your schedule, so Tchilas Chol Ha'Ayim, you're not going to feel good. So it's a funny give and take, by the way. Meaning, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to enjoy Shabbos, even though you know you're going to pay for enjoying Shabbos. Okay. In other words, you're going to feel a little bit heavy and you're going to feel a little lethargic. Fine. Okay. So I understand it's a tension, but still the point now is the following is that right now, good. Right now we're in the middle of the week. We got a rhythm going and we're learning new things and every day and good. So we have the strength and energy to do so. But on Shabbos, how do we start off our Shabbos? By eating, and everyone's going to be feeling heavy, and what? Now we have to go to the Beis Medrash, and we have to hear something new? I don't have the mental energy to do that right now. That's another reason why the Braisa says, don't teach something new on Shabbos. Good. So where are we right now in the Gemara? So, we're trying to understand why it is that you can charge money in order to teach Chumash as opposed to Torah Shabbat Peh. We know there's a difference because that's exactly what we learned on the Mishnah. That if we're bound by neder where you can't get benefit from me, but what I can do is I can teach you Torah Shabbat Peh. I can't teach you Chumash. Why? Because for Chumash I charge. Why do I charge for Chumash? So right now in the Gemara, it's a fair question. So we have two possible answers. Number one, because babysitting. I'm not charging for the teaching of Torah. I'm charging because right now my student population is 5 years of age, 6 years of age. And so therefore there is a residual service being provided, i.e. the babysitting. That's what I'm charging for. Alternatively, what I'm charging for, is Pisuk Tamim. I'm charging for the chop. Because the Gemara still thinks that chop right now is not a Din D'oraisa, and therefore it's not Limud HaTorah to teach chop. And that I'm allowed to charge for. Good. That's the two possibilities. And then we encountered a brice on the bottom of the previous summit that says that on Shabbos, so when you have the yeshivas, only chazara, but no, don't teach something new, that has nothing to do with this discussion. That's a separate issue. One of two possibilities in of itself, which we just went through. Either because we want more family time on Shabbos, or alternatively, no one's got the energy right now, the mental stamina to go ahead and to learn something new on Shabbos. That's a totally unrelated issue. So now, we are going to come back. So we're going to come back to our discussion over here, meaning so on Shabbos itself. So I'm sorry. No. Leave Shabbos out right now. So as far as the Isser Hana is concerned, so what you can do now is that you can teach Torah Shabbat Peh, but you can't teach Torah Shabbat Chsav. And right now, of the two reasons that are given, so we are on the verge of challenging reason number two. Because right now we think that either it's babysitting, which again is a secondary service being provided, and that's what I'm charging for. Alternatively, I'm charging not for the chumash, but for the trap. Because trap is something different. That's external. That's not part of the mesorah. So what we'll start with tomorrow morning is a really simple discussion of, you have to be kidding. Meaning, you really think that trap is not part of the mesorah? So that's where we're starting with tomorrow, and that takes us well into tomorrow's daf. Okay, and as long as we're here, by the way, the Ran writes the following. L'inyan halacha. Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. It's a famous Ran. So we're here today, and I don't want the day to go by without me at least just mentioning it. So L'inyan halacha kaimalan hachi d'alamed yashlo shari l'mishkal. You're teaching Torah Shabbat Peh. You're not allowed to get paid for Torah Shabbat Peh. The Ran over here says, mi ohani milischar limud. Yeah, so that's paid for actually teaching. But there is char batala, meaning that in order for somebody to teach Torah, so what he has to do is he has to take time away from doing other things. So that's what's called char batala. V'achi yisabu yusham degarsin ha'asam yachal afal ha'mikra v'targum kein tamalam chukim mishpatim atem alamdim b'chinam v'atem alamdim b'chinam mikra v'targum v'chein chamim masnei nasmin agraon am rav yudam b'rav yishmol char batala hein notlin. He quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi effectively says that, look, you can't charge for teaching, but in other words, by virtue of the fact, however, that's taking you away from other employment opportunities and other earning opportunities, so that's opportunity lost, so that you're allowed to charge for. That's the Ran quoting the Yerushalmi. Okay, I just, in other words, okay. Okay, good. Right. In other words, with the ramifications, fair, with the ramifications that come out of the Yerushalmi. But anyway, whatever. It's a integral part of the whole discussion. It's basic, and so good. So I mentioned it.